Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Now for Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
Welcome in on this dreary day, and our regular listeners aren't going to believe this, but I had my bunny ears on, ready to go, where the Hall of Famer Dan Issel.
He got distracted.
He had to hurry. And process is cold. He looks like he's in Alaska. I mean, what kind of morning is this? Issel's late for the party, which he never is. And process is freezing his buns off. Response process.
Oh, me response? I'm waiting for one of you to respond.
Why?
Because this producer room is very cold. It's freezing, and I can't drink coffee. There's no coffee cups, so I can't warm myself up. I'm tired and cold.
I appreciate you giving me a heads up on that. I heard there were no cups here, so I brought my coffee cup from the car this morning.
Good for you. Yeah. Good for you. I am not. I'm going to be more useless today than I usually am, which is shocking.
Well, I was halfway here, and I heard you boys talking about no coffee cups. And I thought, now, there's a little place in the back where they store. Maybe they haven't found them. So I walked back there when I got in. And there was none. I mean, zero. And so I did track down, and I'm looking at the last coffee cup process.
Now, how many different people do you think have used that cup over the course of the years that ESPN has been in this building?
That makes me not want to drink my coffee, man. What are you trying to do?
And not only that.
Oh,
how many times do you think it has been used for something other than drinking coffee?
You got to think about it like this, Mike. The hot water will sterilize it, so you'll be good.
Well, you know what? It's amazing. It is amazing. A company this size, this strong, with the kind of juice that it has in this world,
can't have coffee cups.
Can you believe that? Yeah. This is ESPN Louisville.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
It is. It is, because I was counting on a cup of coffee and ready to go. So luckily I had one at the house.
Good. So you left early yesterday.
Yes,
to go. You spoke to the Louisville Quarterback Club. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And this is an annual appearance for you. And you talk about UK basketball, right?
And in the state of the art of college basketball, our friend Gordon Crawford.
Ripper
used to be the, was he the head of sales there with the Colonels?
I don't know. He did something with the Colonels.
Yeah,
I can't remember what it was.
He's been selling something all his life, and he's the chairman, president, whatever it is.
Czar.
You've spoken to him. A good group of guys.
Yeah,
we met at Big Spring, and I didn't get to finish my lunch because Ripper got me right up there, and he wanted me to make it short and sweet, so I took longer than what he probably wanted. But it was fun. Good group of guys. I know a lot of them over the years. I've done that, like, I don't know, 10 years for Ripper or something.
Yeah.
Like, long time. So
good.
Yeah, I was in and out and then went to my treatment, and that was my afternoon, man.
Mm-hmm. I did something that I have not done in a long time. As soon as the show was over yesterday, and thankfully, process helped me get through the last half hour.
I heard you, man. You were having fun. I heard you on the way. I heard you.
We had a good discussion. We talked about legendary college basketball programs and the succession of their head coaches. And we got through Indiana and UCLA and North Carolina and Duke, and the time went so quickly, we didn't get to Louisville and Kentucky. So we'll have to save that for another day.
No, we'll talk today because I listened in my car to what you were saying, and I had one thing about Duke before K.
Okay.
Bill Foster coached, but
my point was Duke wasn't Duke until K got there.
But you're
going to dispute that.
Yeah, in process, you can Google this. Bill Foster took him to the 78 Final Four, Mike Jaminski and others. The kid from Philly was a really good player, but they played Kentucky in the championship game in 78, right? And you know, you get to the championship game, you don't leave the program in disarray.
Yeah, but we were only talking about people who had won the championship.
Okay. Well, they had not won one. I don't know if they ever have won one.
I know that when we played Duke in the UKIT, they weren't Duke then.
No. No, they Bucky Waters was the coach, but he had a big guy. He had a little point guard, DiVincenzo or something. He's from New York. He's one of Bob Valvano and Nicky Valvano's Paisans. Yeah, Paisan. and he was a good little player. And they had the big guy. What was his name? You played
Denton. Rusty Denton.
You played against him in the pros, too.
Yeah.
He's a bit slow, but he had a nice touch. No, they weren't Duke, and
so that was a heck of a matchup. If he was slow, me and him.
Yeah, he wasn't in your league. Trust me, he was not in your league.
So anyway, after the show yesterday, I went down to Keeneland, saw some friends of mine. The horse sale's still going on down there, and I walked. I was outdoors all afternoon, and I walked all afternoon. My friend's barn, you know, they assign you barns for the horses that are for sale. And my friend's barn for yesterday was at the very back of Keeneland. So, and then I walked around and looked at a few horses. And so I walked all day.
You got your steps in.
I walked all day, and I was outside. And I went home, and I was watching your pitiful Reds, and fell asleep before
they will put you to sleep
before 9 o'clock, and then I set my alarm instead of setting it for a.m., I set it for p.m.
Ooh.
And I woke up at 10. I woke up this morning at 10 minutes after 8. I slept for over 11 hours last night. Yeah. So I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I'm ready this morning.
You got all your facts and figures lined up. What would you like to talk about today? And then I'll throw out what I want to talk about, and we'll figure out where we start.
No.
No?
No. Because what I want to talk about, you won't want to talk about.
Uh-oh.
Your pitiful Cincinnati Redlegs.
Oh, yeah,
you
man.
Can stick a fork in them.
Well, I said that yesterday. I said it early in the week.
And Mike, I have teased you about the size of the Cincinnati crowds. And maybe I underestimated the crowd size from time to time. This morning, I am not exaggerating at all. There were not 7,000 people in that ballpark last night. There might not have been 6, but I guarantee you, no exaggeration, there weren't. If I owned the Cincinnati Reds, you know what I'd be looking at this morning?
What?
My lease agreement. See how fast I could get out of Cincinnati, because I guarantee you, if they go to Nashville, if they could get to Nashville, now it won't happen because the Cincinnati Reds are the Cincinnati Reds. They've been there since the National League.
Maybe even before the National League started.
Yeah. So they're probably not going anywhere. But if I own that club, I couldn't wait to get out of town.
I saw they put a camera on the crowd. But there was another team last night that They took Major League Baseball Channel took you to different games, and there was another team that didn't.
That's what I was going to say. I guarantee you it wasn't a team that had a shot to make the playoffs.
It was. I think it might have been the Padres. I'm not sure, but you could shot a cannon through that one too.
Well, the Padres aren't going to make it either.
They're in the hunt.
They're half a game behind you.
I know. But they're in the hunt.
Yeah, I guess.
They're in the hunt.
I guess.
Did you see last night Blue Jays and the Rays, that game?
No.
Oh,
I know Toronto won.
Yes, they did. I think it was 4-2. But
all three of the now that's a great race.
It is.
The Red Sox, the Blue Jays, and the Yankees.
Yep.
For competing, I think, for two spots, right?
Right.
Two of those teams will make the playoffs.
Yes.
Is that right? Yeah.
Well, Boston is on top. But
right,
they're catchable.
But it's close.
Yeah,
it's close
catchable.
Between all three of them. That'll be the fun race to watch. I think you can draw a ring around the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yep.
I think that.
And I hate to say I told you so, but I've been pumping the. Yep. I looked at the schedule a month ago. I thought they were the one.
Yep.
And you know, I didn't count on the Reds spitting the bit,
not being able to beat Pittsburgh.
Oh,
weren't they? Man. They last series in Pittsburgh, they were 1-2, right?
Yep.
And
yep.
got a great shot to be 1-2 in this
one. A real good one. you know, if they could just get anything out of their bullpen, and obviously you could say if they could get anything out of their starting rotation because they have to go to their bullpen so quickly.
Yeah, but that was the disappointing thing last night. They had to pull Molly after, what, four innings or three innings?
I think
was
three
it three innings?
Innings? Yeah.
They didn't, you know, for arguably your ace in an important game like that, not to get to the fifth inning, not get out of the fifth inning.
And Sonny Gray has been a disappointment this year. I know he's had some injuries, but, you know, he has been a quality pitcher,
yeah.
But he hasn't been that.
The real question mark to me is Lorenzen. I mean, he was pitching batting practice last night. You know, he at times, he looks unhittable.
Yep.
And then the next time he comes in and it's boom, boom, boom.
Well, dude, speaking of boom, 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 and process, if you can find this number, I may be a little low. Carlos Stanton with the Yankees hit a home run. It was almost a line drive. They showed it on the Major League Baseball Network. It was like a rocket. It went out velocity of like 110. That was how can you hit a ball that hard?
That hard.
He
can do it, though.
I'm telling you what, Dan, that thing. And they kept showing it. They showed it from the pitcher's angle. They showed it from the batter's angle. Then they showed you an angle where they tracked it over the third baseman. He just whipped that bat around, and that thing was gone, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you talk about some strength. Whew. Okay. Well, our man John Salzman.
Yes, Johnny Salzman.
Johnny Salzman.
He comes up. I don't know where he comes up with these tidbits, but
I don't know either.
He'll text us from time to time some pretty good ones.
And he has texted us a nice one that you and I talked about before the show, that on today, the 22nd of September, the Kentucky Colonels, 1971, played in the second ever ABA NBA preseason game. Now, listen to this total, Dan. You tell me people wouldn't support pro basketball. Come on. 13,821 people.
Freedom Hall. Yep.
A pretty nice crowd. Pretty nice crowd. We played the Baltimore Bullets in Freedom Hall, and we defeated the Bullets 111-85.
Smoked them.
First W for the ABA. Against
an NBA team.
The night before, the Dallas team had lost to Milwaukee 106-103 the night before.
That would have been Kareem.
Yep.
And Oscar, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Bobby Dandridge.
Yeah. Yep.
That was them. And we got the first W, but the point of that is, well, Artis had 16.16 rebounds. Of course, you had your 24. You never saw a shot you didn't like, right? Particularly in exhibition games, okay? But I played in that. I couldn't find the box score. Wes Unsell played. Wes Unsell, local legend.
Yeah, for the Bullets.
And they were the Baltimore Bullets then.
Yep.
Not the Washington Wizards or the Washington Bullets. They're the Baltimore Bullets. So
they were like the Reds. They couldn't get enough people to start a good crap game in Baltimore.
I guess so.
So they had to move to Washington.
I guess so.
So that was 50. Is that 50 years ago today? Yeah.
Yep.
50 years ago today, the first ABA team to beat an NBA.
But
team.
We talked about this. We're playing exhibition games in late September. Now training camp starts early October, and the first game is early November.
November, yeah.
Okay, we must have played 100 exhibition games that year.
I know exactly how many we played. That would have been our second year, Artis' rookie year. Between we went around the state, and I don't know how many of these we played versus how many exhibition, true exhibition games. But we played some inter-squad games out in the state to try and drum up interest. Between the inter-squad games that we played that year, that fall, and the exhibition games, 17. 17. We played 17 games before the first regular season game. So that means we would have played over 100 games before the playoffs even started.
And remember, Dan, nobody got paid till the first game.
Yeah, no.
So you're playing exhibition games on a per diem of about $12 or $15 a day. And that's it. And guys trying to
great,
make guys,
we had a great players association.
Yeah, we did. That's a good story. Why don't you tell that story?
I believe it's in my first All-Star game, my rookie year in the ABA, was in Greensboro. I'm pretty sure it was in Greensboro. And that's where I first met the man who would become my dear, dear friend, Chopper Travellini, the trainer. At that time, he was a trainer for the Virginia Squires.
Okay.
And when the Squires folded, Larry Brown was the coach in Denver, and he brought Chopper to Denver. And so anyway, we have a Players Association meeting the afternoon of the game. And so it lasted 3 hours, because I kept looking at my watch. I like to take a little pregame nap. I didn't feel like I could get up and walk out. So, you know, I remember Charlie Scott was the most vocal. Of course, Charlie's going to be the most vocal in any meeting that he attends.
He loves the talk.
He attends. But we were in there for 3 hours, and we're saying we want this and we want that. And, you know, we're going to go back to the owners, and if they don't do this and they don't do that, we're not going to play in the All-Star game. And after 3 hours, the guy, and I can't remember his name, who was supposedly the head of the Players Association, said, well, you know, you got to play the game. He said, what? He said, yeah, we have an agreement with the owners. You can't strike. Yeah, you have to play the game. And everybody said, oh, man, and got up and walked out of the room. We wasted 3 hours talking about what we were going to demand or we weren't going to play in the game. And the guy finally says, oh, you can't do that. You can't do that.
And you weren't alone about the naps. Everybody wanted to take a nap, right?
Exactly.
And everybody was PO'd about that. But it's just amazing now they may play, what, 5 exhibition games?
Yeah,
maybe?
They don't play. It was 8 for a long, long time. And you would try to find places. I remember we had an exhibition game one time in Canada.
With the Nuggets?
Okay. I was with the Nuggets. We had an exhibition game in Canada against the 76ers. And pretty good crowd. Not packed, but a pretty good crowd. And the 76ers come out, and Julius isn't dressed, and George McGinnis isn't dressed, and somebody else on that team that was really – they just gave him the night out. I thought we were going to have to fight our way out. You talk about people booing and throwing things.
Really?
They paid good money, and Julius is sitting over – and George sitting over on the bench in their street clothes. And so they used to go out and try to find places – that, you know, didn't have NBA basketball, but some stupid promoter would pay you money to show up. But I think people learned pretty quickly, because it went on for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
But now I don't think you can sell one of those exhibition games to anybody. So.
Well, when I was with the Hornets, Dick Carter was the first coach, and Dick had coached at Oregon before he I guess he came right to the Hornets, or maybe he had a stop in the NBA. I'm not sure. But we played them when I was at Charlotte in the Far West Classic. We played Oregon. So I knew Dick, but he wanted to go back home for whatever the reason. We flew all the way from Charlotte to Portland.
And it was your home game.
It was our home
game. Yeah, yeah.
And we took a bus to Eugene, and we took a bus to wherever Oregon State is. Cornwallis. Played two exhibition games out there. Spent like, you know, 3 or 4 days probably. You had a couple of days in there. And came back. And I was thinking, what in God's name are we doing out here? I mean, that's a long trip. You take a trip from here to Portland. I did when my daughter lived there. Yeah. That's a long trip. You go from Charlotte
to Portland
to play two exhibition games.
Yeah. Yeah, those exhibition games weren't fun. And that's why I know when you look at exhibition games in any sport, I know what the mentality of the players is. Oh. I mean, you've got the rookies that are playing hard because they want a chance to make the team. So you've got those people that are playing hard and giving it 100%. And then you've got the veterans who are just saying, get me to the end of this thing without getting hurt and not giving much of an effort at all. I wouldn't pay good money to watch any exhibition game.
Do you remember in our third year there with the Colonels, we went to Dayton in exhibition season to play the Pacers because we played the Pacers a lot, right? It was like
every other week.
So we go to Dayton, and I'm out there warming up with everybody else shooting around. And somebody had told Joe Mullaney that I was from Dayton. So Joe comes over to me. He says, I heard you're from Dayton. I said, yeah, Joe, my name's Mike Pratt. You know, I you don't know me. I don't know you. I'm just trying to make this team, right? And he says, well, you're from Dayton, right? And I said, yes. He said, well, I'm going to start you tonight because I had been coming off the bench. So I got to start, had a good game, and everything was fine. And I still don't think after that ball game against the Pacers that Joe knew who in the hell I was.
Do you remember how you played?
Played well. Yeah, I played well. I got a start and played well. It was funny, though. Joe had no idea where anybody was from. You know, I guess he thought because we played at Kentucky, we were all from Kentucky. And that wasn't the case. But exhibition, that's how they did exhibition games. Oh, you're from Batavia, Illinois.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, Dan?
let's have a game there. I've told this story before, but it's one of my all-time favorites. I'm coaching the Nuggets, and we have an exhibition game at Colorado State. And so we had a kid on our team, really a point guard, but – you know, he was a really good college player, played hard. His name was Ryan Yoder. Ryan Yoder played at Colorado State. And so we have an exhibition game there, and it's the last exhibition game. And
how far a drive is that from Denver?
Oh, hour.
Okay.
But up in Fort Collins, right up I-25. And so I did the same thing. So I started Ryan in that exhibition game, and you know, everybody in the stands going nuts. Here's a kid, here's a hometown kid playing in the NBA, and he had an unbelievable game. He scored like, I don't know, 20-21 points, had a handful of assists, had played a great game. He's on the star of the game. They call him out to be on the radio after the game. He's the star of the game.
They gave him a $100 gift certificate to the local jewelry.
So now that's the last exhibition game. So now I got to make some cuts. So I call Ryan in, and they had a little office off the locker room.
You cut him right after the game? You didn't wait till the morning?
No.
Oh, man, you're cold. Yeah.
So
that's cold.
I said, Ryan, I said, you know, we really appreciate you played well, but you know, you're not going to make the team. And he's got this big smile on his face. The whole time I'm telling him, I'm cutting him, that he hasn't made the team, that his NBA dream is over. He's smiling ear to ear. And I finally say, Ryan, you know, this would make it a little easier on me if you weren't so happy. He said, Coach, this is the greatest night of my life. I don't care if I can't make the team. I kind of thought that going in. He said, but this is the greatest night of my life.
How about that attitude? Yeah, that's a great attitude.
Yeah, he's a really good kid. We've stayed in touch. He has a basketball basketball camp that I used to go up and work. He's been very successful. I think he's an investment banker in Fort Collins. Stayed right there. But a great kid. But I'll never forget that. I'm telling him, you know, his NBA dream is over. And he's just grinning from ear to ear.
That's a great story. You've told that before. I've always enjoyed that. Now, a texter had a story for us.
Okay.
He attended a Colonels blue-white exhibition game at Bullitt Central High School.
There you go. Yeah.
We did a bunch of those.
No, we did a bunch of those trying to drum up Bullitt Central. Where's Bullitt?
Just south of town.
Okay.
Off of 65.
Okay.
So
going toward E-Town?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes.
All right.
So it was a quick bus ride for us. But I've got to try you guys out on this, okay? My history quiz before we go to a break. All right. Now, you guys love this.
This is Wiley Wednesday.
Yes, yes, it is. Indeed, it is. Okay, what was the first intended purpose of Play-Doh? You remember Play-Doh. Your kids probably had it. You molded it up and you did all kinds of things.
Had those things that you pushed it out and it came out in different forms.
Yeah, yeah. 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 The process you remember
Play-Doh? Did you play with Play-Doh,
yeah,
Bobby?
What was the first purpose of Play-Doh before it came a national rage as a kid's toy? Dental filling, wallpaper cleaning, tire patch, or fire extinguisher? You want me to read them back to you?
It can't be fillings or what was the third one?
Tire patch.
Yeah, it can't be those two.
No.
It has to be, it either has to be, what was the second one?
Wallpaper cleaner.
Or?
Fire extinguisher was four.
Yeah.
I think you need to go back and relook at dental filling and a tire patch. But it's your choice.
I will not, because those are two bad ideas.
Okay. Process, what are you going with?
Yeah, I want to say wallpaper sounds like it makes more sense.
I'll go with... what was four?
Fire extinguisher.
I'll go with fire extinguisher.
Okay, let's see here. Let's roll the dice.
You don't know the answer?
Yeah, sure I do, but I'm just playing along with you guys. Wallpaper cleaner.
All right.
Yeah, wallpaper cleaner.
Way to go,
cleaner.
Bobby.
I'm pretty sure that stuff is flammable. That's why I went with wallpaper.
Founded in 1912, this manufacturer of wallpaper cleaner, which was malleable, clay-like compound that refreshed walls damaged by coal soot. By the 1950s, however, coal was going out of use, jeopardizing this company. So he decided to find a way to help kids in modeling projects. Kids were making projects then for school, and the company ran with it, and Play-Doh was born. That was a big deal back
then.
A big deal. So.
How about that? I bet they sold a whole lot more Play-Doh as Play-Doh than they did as wallpaper cleaner.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I mean, wallpaper cleaner, people did their own work then, or they had a company. I mean, people did a lot of home improvement back then. They got away from it maybe in the 70s and 80s and 90s, but now it's back. Every show on television is something about renovation.
Renovation,
right?
Absolutely.
My wife, Marcia, loves those shows. I think your wife, Sherry, does.
Hey, Bobby, did we have some pushback yesterday? Mr. Pratt and I were talking about players showing off and Lamar doing a
cartwheel
yep. into the end zone. Did we have some pushback on those comments?
Yes, I can go dive in and try to find some of those from yesterday, but you both did. Even as it was happening, I was getting some texts from some people on certain shows saying this is very out of touch, that players should be able to celebrate.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, see, that's the difference between our generation and your generation. Our generation, it was, what can we do for others? What, you know, we don't want to
draw
attention. Show off. Yeah, we don't want to draw attention. We don't want to upstage anybody. And your generation is, hey, man, it's all about us. We don't care.
Personal branding.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We don't
I agree with that.
We don't care about you. It's all about us.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you tell me which one's better. Hey, like so many of my friends, you may be searching for your dream home, but be sure you get the best mortgage for that home. The folks at Stockton Mortgage are the best at helping people find a complete financing option that works for them. So don't wait. Get started with our favorite home loan folks at Stockton.com. That's Stockton.com, NMLS number 8259, Equal Housing Lender.
Miss anything from your favorite ESPN Louisville show? Check out the Podcast Center on the brand new ESPN Louisville smartphone app or on iTunes and SoundCloud.
Looking to take advantage of this seller's market? Stockton Mortgage can help you navigate the timeline of selling and buying a home. On top of that, they'll work with you to find the complete financing option that works for you. Rates are still looking good, so now is a great time to buy. Go to Stockton.com, NMLS number 8259, Equal Housing Lender.
The Colts hit the road for the first time this season as they travel to Nashville to take on AFC South rival, the Tennessee Titans. Join me, Matt Taylor, Rick Venturi, and Lara Overton on Sunday for countdown to kickoff beginning at noon, followed by game action at 1. The Colts are looking to play complimentary football in the Music City and take down Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, and the Titans this Sunday. Hear every minute of the action right here on the Bell Tire Radio Network.
Coverage begins Sunday at 12 o'clock on ESPN 680 and 105.7. It's baseball season. No matter how you watch the game, you'll win with Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, the official wine of Major League Baseball. Get Woodbridge wine and open up a winner. It's got the smooth, fruit-forward flavors that have been a game day tradition for over 40 years. Shop, delivery, and pickup options at orderwoodbridge.com. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Please enjoy our wines responsibly. 2021 Woodbridge Winery, Ocampo, California.
It comes once a year only, and it's this weekend. Tacori and Viraggio coming to Louisville this weekend, Friday through Sunday. See their entire collections, all the latest styles, and get up to $5,000 in savings and special financing on the ring of your dreams. Come see the latest from Tacori, all-American, made and handcrafted in California by true artisans. The ring that every girl dreams of is here at Genesis Diamonds. The latest styles, the top collections, including new rings never offered before. Here, all weekend. Engagement rings, wedding bands, fashion pieces. Get the Genesis value price plus up to $5,000 in savings and special financing. Don't miss this exclusive Genesis Diamonds Bridal Showcase with thousands of beautiful rings other jewelers aren't even allowed to carry and luxury pre-owned Rolexes. It's this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and yes, even open Sunday for this special once-a-year event at Genesis Diamonds, Shelbyville Road Plaza.
After being cooped up all spring, it's time to get outside and enjoy the summer of now. With amazing rates, Adventure Loans from Commonwealth Credit Union let you hit the road or no road at all with UTVs, ATVs, and motorcycles. Or our recreational loans for boats, motorhomes, and campers. This year, make the most of every day and stay cool for the summer. Visit ccuky.org/cool to learn more or apply today. Commonwealth Credit Union. Here, we see you differently. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity. Loans subject to approval. Call us at 1-800-228-6420 for credit costs and terms.
For years, Tyler Mountain Water has helped us here at ESPN Louisville, and now they want to help you. Tyler Mountain Water is now featuring residential water delivery. They can deliver 5-gallon bottles and water coolers to your home today, whether it be spring, purified, distilled, or alkaline water. In fact, for any new residential customer, when you sign up, they'll knock $50 off your first month. Visit them online today, TylerMountainWater.com. That's TylerMountainWater.com.
Uncle Chuck, what is fall?
Fall means football, but excitement doesn't end there. This is when Kentucky's outdoors are just getting started. The Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife reminds you lakes and streams are alive with fall fishing. And for many, the biggest game of the season is white-tailed deer. Get your fishing and hunting license and get your game plan together. This fall, take aim on a winning season at fw.ky.gov.
Kentucky football looks to improve to 4-0 Saturday when the Cats travel to South Carolina. And your place to talk about the Cats after every game is with ESPN 680 and 105.7. Join James Strebel and Jason N. Saturday around 10 o'clock for the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife Postgame Show. We'll take your calls and hear live from Mark Stoops. If it's Kentucky football, we talk about it here on ESPN 680, 105.7, and the ESPN Louisville app. This segment of Stockton Mortgage's Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt is presented by KentuckyTourism.com.
When is Jimmy Mack coming back?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a dandy. Begging Jimmy Mack to come back.
Motown.
Even though it's cloudy out today, chances are we're going to have a beautiful fall weekend.
I think starting tomorrow it's supposed to be great.
Okay, so when you're looking for thrills this weekend, hop on a mountain bike, race through Whitewater Rapids, or through the treetops of Kentucky. Great time, fall, leaves changing. It's going to be beautiful out. This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway at KentuckyTourism.com. So let's... What did we say we wanted to talk about before we got into – there was we're going to save that for the second hour.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons for the second hour.
Yeah,
and the Ryder Cup, which is coming up.
Yeah.
And I know you're a golf aficionado.
I like to watch golf. That's one of my favorite sports to watch on television. And I understand, Bobby, we're carrying the Ryder Cup here. Isn't that right?
There was. Yes. I'm sifting through sound over here.
Sorry, I woke you up. I'm sorry.
I'm working. I'm not on my phone. Come on, man.
So, South Carolina Gamecocks, Kentucky's first road SEC game. They've dominated South Carolina recently. Tough place to play. And they're going to start Luke Doty at quarterback.
Right.
Now, this was the guy that got hurt. His job was taken by Nolan, but the Gamecocks
the graduate coach, assistant.
Yes, he filled in. That's what you call filling in, brother. Okay.
Can you imagine your program is so slim that you lose your starting quarterback and you have to go get a graduate assistant to play quarterback?
I was going there. Doty showed no lingering effects from a foot sprain that kept him from the sidelines first 2 weeks. He had won the job. Now he's going to come back and replace the grad assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And
he played in the Georgia game, right?
Yeah. Played a little bit. So if Kentucky can't handle a team that has a semi-injured quarterback and the backup is a grad transfer,
it's interesting.
I really feel for the Wildcats.
It's interesting. Both Kentucky and the Cards are road favorites this week, right?
Yep.
What's the number on Kentucky? Five and a half?
Five and a half, I think. Correct us if we're wrong, process.
Five and a half. And you think that's a good number for Kentucky?
I do. I think that Kentucky wins by at least a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And that the seven covers the five and a half.
That's
okay.
In the math I learned, it does.
There you go. 2.5-point favorite, I believe, the Cardinals are. You know, both teams that they're playing, they're not similar situations, but they're kind of like each other. Florida State desperately needs a W, okay? Norvell, the coach there, is
you think deep you think if he loses, he's gone?
I think so, because I wouldn't do it. I don't think makes any sense to fire a coach in the middle of the year. But if he goes 0-4 – and he's got Deion Sanders, a legendary Florida State player, coaching at Jackson State, not far from it.
And it seems that all of the people that are clamoring, and there are a lot of them, clamoring for Deion to become the next head coach at Florida State.
Yep.
They don't seem to have a problem with the fact that he hasn't been terribly successful at Jackson State, nor has the fact that he hasn't done this for more than a couple of seasons.
Well, yeah, I mean, a few games, right? And I don't know. I don't know. That's crazy. But that is percolating down in Tallahassee. That is percolating. At South Carolina, this is a new coach.
Right.
And he was left offensively a bare cupboard. So defensively, that's what they've got to figure out, whether Doty can get it done offensively. Now, I will tell you, if you look at the offense and the defense, it would seem to me that Kentucky is vulnerable to a guy who can dink and dunk.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen that.
They certainly have been, because the last two games, they have exactly one sack, very little pressure, and it seems like our defensive backs are willing to give up the 7, 8, 9 yard pass just to make sure nobody gets behind them.
Well, if you look at Zeb Nolan, the quarterback that now is being replaced by Doty. We don't have a lot of information on Doty, but Nolan is number 13 in the SEC. He's averaging 8 yards a pass, just a little bit over 8 points.
That's the grad assistant.
That's
right?
The grad assistant, yeah. Because we don't have much info on Doty.
You mean there is a starting quarterback in the SEC that is doing worse than a graduate assistant? Because 13 would be one from the bottom, right?
Yeah, 13.
I'm going to guess it's Vanderbilt.
Yes, it is Vanderbilt. So you were spot on. You get a bag of candy. You get some Play-Doh to take home to the grandkids. Now, Levis, our quarterback's number 5 in the SEC, averaging over 10 yards a pass.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so he's number 5. That's a good spot to be. Rushing yards, of course, we have Rodriguez. I think –
we had him until last game when we decided.
I was going to let you say that.
Take his hits. We're going to take his hits away from him and start Smoke.
Yeah, and rest him.
Yeah,
but he's averaging. I think he's leading the SEC at a little over six yards a carry, and that's a pretty good load. Now their leading rusher. They have two guys. One guy's at 4 yards, and one guy's at 3 yards. You can tell they're a rushing team. You have one running back at a little over 3, another a little over 4.
You've done your homework on this game.
I have dug relatively deep. I'm going to continue to dig deep on this game.
Okay.
Do you know what sand is? It sand. Dust? Is it sand dust that they play at South Carolina the whole game? Kind of like Rocky Top?
Sand dust.
Help me with that one.
I'll look into it.
Yeah, because Kentucky is practicing with that music in the background. Sand dust.
A song?
I guess so. I guess so. Is Rocky Top a song?
Yes.
Okay. And that,
but I've heard of Rocky Top. I've never heard of sand dust.
Yeah, the process is going to come with that.
Okay.
But they're practicing with this music piped in to simulate what's going to happen at South Carolina.
Ooh.
That's kind of like Whiteout right there.
that's
kind of scary.
I wonder if anybody ever thought about that. The week before they play Penn State, they have a bunch of students come in and stand around the sidelines in white T-shirts to get them acclimated to the whiteout.
Well, go ahead.
It's called Sandstorm.
Sandstorm. It's music, right? Yep. Sandstorm. Never heard of it. I'm anxious to hear on TV or listening to the radio that all sounds
7
like.
7 o'clock Saturday.
Yeah, so
a little sandstorm.
A total offense. USC, okay? Southern California likes to be called SC.
Yes.
Our guys want to be called USC.
Okay.
They're 13th in total offense. They're averaging 356 total offense a game. Kentucky is number 6 in the SEC, 479 and change.
Hmm.
So if we can keep Rodriguez healthy, play Smoke a little bit, dink and dunk him, control the ball, we're going to be okay. That's how I look at it. And I know our defense has been like a sieve at times, but if we dominate the ball and keep their defense out there and score and have a blend, as Stoop says, of passing and running, we're going to be okay.
Yeah. Well, one thing I can guarantee you, Kavassier Smoke will not be the starting running back for Kentucky.
Really?
For
you
Kentucky.
Think so?
I can guarantee you that. I'm sure the first snap of the ball, Chris Rodriguez is going to be lined up behind Levis.
Well, let's hope so. My goodness. How about a little sandstorm? What's the background to that music?
I don't know what the background is. I mean, I just honestly, the first time I ever heard it, I just thought it was like the generic music they play in football. Let me pull it up here and I'll show you what I mean. I mean, you've been to a football game, obviously. Most people in this business have. It's just one of those songs they play. So give me a sec.
Okay. A question on the Athletic, which you and I read, is one of the articles, should FSU stick with Mike Norvell? Mm. Should Florida State stick with? When they start writing that stuff early in the season, you got problems.
Well, I mean, it's this has been one of the storied programs, Mike, in college football. I mean, Florida State, when Bobby Bowden was there and Jimbo that followed him.
Yep.
But since Fisher left, I mean, the place has been a grease fire. And so and I'm not so sure. I mean, do you want to take a chance? I know how popular Dion is, and that would be a terrific hire as far as
publicity.
Okay. Public relations. It would be a tremendous – but do you really want to go down that road not knowing, A, how he can recruit, B, if he can coach, what kind of staff he can put together? I would think if you were that kind of program, you'd be looking for a big name college coach. Because
how about Urban Meyer?
Urban's not taking losing too well, is he, in Jacksonville?
No, he's not.
And I'm really surprised at that. Did he think they were going to be any good this year?
That's a fair question, Dave. Fair question.
As you like to say, there's a reason they got the number one draft pick.
Yep.
And I don't care how good Lawrence is going to be eventually. He's not going to turn it around by himself. It's going to take a while to rebuild that franchise. I'm surprised that he seemed shocked that his team stinks.
Well, I agree. I mean, it's is it just a front to help him get through the year? But if you look at his teams at Florida, at Bowling Green, at Ohio State, he's always had a quarterback that could make something happen. You know, Tebow did it his way, but he made something happen to win the national championship. At Ohio State, you know, he's got quarterbacks up there. Yep. At Bowling Green, he had a quarterback, was a top-flight MAC quarterback. So I don't know what he expected. I agree with you. I mean, this is the pros. One guy doesn't make it.
No.
One guy doesn't make it. But
and especially a rookie quarterback. You know, I mean, you can go back, look at all the rookie quarterbacks that turned out to be great. Look at Peyton Manning's first year with the Colts. Look at John Elway's first year with the Broncos. I mean, you're not going to come out and be great at the very beginning of your pro career. It's going to take some growing pains.
Well, our friend Tim Couch, I mean, the Browns ruined him with no line.
Right,
shortened his career, okay? And Burrow gets hurt last year with the Bengals.
Yeah.
He's off to a pretty good start. He gets hurt. They don't have a line either, or didn't have much of a line. So, I mean, those are two guys that we're talking about here. But you look at the college scene, and this article is kind of interesting, Dan. It projects Seminoles are 0-3. You look at the remaining schedule, they could be 2-10. Now, you know, how well is Florida State going to take a 2-10?
Yeah. Well, if they're 2-10, Norville will never get to the end of the year. I mean, you can't let that happen.
So do you? Do you go with Deion Sanders?
I wouldn't, but that's probably who they'll go with.
Urban Meyer?
Urban Meyer. He can't leave Jacksonville in
what
the
What do you
middle,
mean? Bobby Petrino?
Yes, he can.
Bobby Petrino left Atlanta, didn't he, in the middle of the year?
Of course he did. You think Urban Meyer cares what his players think of him?
Whoa. Don't put Urban Meyer and Bobby Petrino
Excuse me. Excuse
in terms
me.
Of acumen and success, no. In terms of who they are as people, as far as you know they're concerned, maybe.
Well, You know, there's some pretty attractive – I mean, Florida State, if you can turn it around recruiting-wise, get better players, is an attractive job. I mean, those people are football crazy down there. They sell the place out.
That's my point. Why would you want to take a chance – and again, I know it's Deion Sanders. I understand that. But why would you take a chance when you should be able to attract a really good, proven football guy to that job? That's my point.
Okay. All right. Let's compare a little something here. Kansas, terrible football program historically. I mean, it's been a long time since Bobby Douglas played there, right? I mean, they really, really struggled.
And Gale Sayers.
And Gale Sayers. Process, you remember those two guys?
Can't say I remember Gale Sayers playing, but that's, you know, a little bit before my time.
Gale Sayers.
Man. I know who Gale Sayers is. Right. I know exactly
okay.
who
Gale Sayers. Okay.
You guys, we'll talk about it more with the Lamar Jackson clips I've cut about them laughing about the whole thing.
About Jim Brown?
Right, but they were like, who the hell is Sam Huff? And I'm like, I knew who Sam Huff was. Yeah. I knew exactly who that was.
Well, if they don't know Hall of Fame players,
yeah,
even though
you.
It was from a long, long time ago. If they don't know Hall of Fame players, what are they doing on the radio?
That's a fair question. What are they doing, Process?
I don't know, man.
Yapping?
I'm not. This is a fight. It's not my fight, man.
Well, since you produce for every show that comes out of this studio, you better remain neutral.
Exactly.
All right. This article says that Florida State has been, as you said, since Bobby Bowden, has been very unstable. And it might take another 3 or 4 years to build the roster back. And this writer compares Florida State, not historically, but at this point in time, to Kansas. And remember, Turner Gill was a very good quarterback, college quarterback, I believe. He coached at Buffalo and did a lot of success.
It was very successful.
Very successful. Yep. Why in the world he took the Kansas job, I don't know, because everybody struggled there. So after two seasons, they fired him. You know who they replaced him with? Charlie Weiss. And he didn't last 3 years. I mean, Charlie Weiss. So they still stay in that rebuild mode.
Let me ask you a question. If you're Kansas, mm-hmm. where do you recruit?
JUCOs. A lot of JUCOs. Maybe you go. I mean, Kansas State. What's the coach's name at Kansas State? Been there forever. He built that program. Everybody said you can't have a program.
Oh yeah,
at Kansas
the stadium's named after him.
Yeah, he built that program, but he did a lot of JUCOs, and you just got to mine some of these states that. You go to Colorado. If you can't beat Colorado and Colorado State for one guy or two guys, okay, you build your roster that way. Along with, hey, the portal's open now. Portal is open. You got the JUCO. I mean, but you got to get out and hustle. So maybe Deion Sanders is the name that can go out and hustle.
Well,
now, we don't know how hard he wants to work.
The reason I ask that question is when you think of hotbeds of high school football.
No, you're right.
Kansas, Missouri, Iowa. Maybe Iowa a little bit, but they don't exactly.
They keep their kids at home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And Mizzou's always had a hard time recruiting St. Louis. For whatever the reason, they've had a hard time recruiting St. Louis. And there's a lot of talent that's gone out of St. Louis. One comes to mind is Ezekiel Elliott goes to Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, you're right.
But see, that's not the case in Florida. I mean,
no.
We've talked about this before. Florida produces like 200, and this is an old number. It might be even more than this now. But Florida, the state of Florida, produces like 250 Division I football players a year. How can you be Florida State in the middle of Florida and be so devoid of talent?
Well, and that sets the stage for this U of L Florida State game. I mean, don't forget, Notre Dame came in there and beat them on a field goal, a last-second field goal.
Yeah.
So there's some talent on this team because everybody thinks Notre Dame is pretty good. And Notre Dame is a fun school to follow in this way. Have they ever played a game, Process or Dan, where people didn't try to pick them to lose? It was almost like, you know, they want to see Notre Dame lose.
I am in that category.
There you go. So, I mean, this is a team that took Notre Dame down to the wire. Yeah, they laid an egg against Jacksonville State. I get it. Wake Forest is pretty good, and they had to play them up there. So this is a team that's got some talent. Now, whether they put it all together for Louisville or somebody else, I don't know. But they're 2 years away. Most right. people think 2 years away.
You know what they are, Mike? They're 2 years away from being 2 years away.
No, I disagree with that. They get the right guy with the reputation, the history of Florida State. It could be two. I don't think they have to wait for four.
Okay.
That's right. Just, you know, I know what you're saying. I mean, that's a great saying, too. I know exactly what you're saying. So, but, you know, a team that's been a disappointment to me. Well, not, it might be kind of disappointing. And nobody here plays them right now. I mean, we'll play Kentucky, we'll play Oklahoma sooner or later. But it's this Rattler guy. I mean, he was the leader for the Heisman Trophy.
$150 an autograph.
Thank you. Thank you. And what has he done? They've struggled. I mean, Nebraska went in there, could have won the ball game.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was my point yesterday. I don't know if there's any dominant teams. I mean, when you look, maybe it's just a case of with all the social media and all the talk that's around these kids, maybe these kids decide who's going to win the game before the game ever kicks off. Maybe that's the problem. But, you know, Alabama – people, that Florida-Alabama game was a lot closer than most people thought it was going to be. Clemson struggled with Georgia Tech. Oklahoma barely beats Nebraska. UCLA loses to Fresno State. I don't know what it is, but it, you know, there, it doesn't look like there's any dominant teams anymore.
Well, there's, Alabama's got a ton of talent, but it's young and they haven't put it together. Georgia's very talented. I mean, you take those first six or seven teams, they're talented. But to your point, on a Saturday or a Saturday night, they all can be beaten.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like to me. I mean, Florida had that game. I mean, they were right there where they wanted to be. Okay.
And how about that two-point conversion? Did you see that? Where the quarterback puts the ball in the belly of the running back. And together, it was like, am I supposed to give them the ball or am I supposed to take it? And they run together toward the goal line. That was the funniest play I've ever seen. It was a quarterback had the ball with the running back, and it was like they were dancing on the way to the goal.
He couldn't get it out.
On the goal line.
He couldn't get it out of the belly. He couldn't get it out of the belly. So, yeah, I think that makes it for a fun football season. Georgia, look, they and Clemson were in a dogfight till the end, opening game.
Yep.
And Georgia's defense is terrific, but their offense is laboring, and so is Clemson's. They have a hard time scoring the ball, too. So, I mean, there's a lot of teams like that over the next 3 or 4 weeks, Dan, I think could get a whole lot better. I mean, how much better can Iowa get? You know what? They're big – they're a power team that runs the ball and plays defense,
right.
but they're limited offensively. Now, they weren't picked. Wisconsin plays Notre Dame this weekend in Chicago, and something we can talk about.
Soldier Field.
Yeah, I mean, that's a ball game we can talk about when we come back because, again, everybody wants to say how Notre Dame gets beat. I mean, it's almost like they're America's favorite team to pick against.
Hey, it doesn't look like it now outside, but this weekend's going to be absolutely gorgeous. Beautiful fall weekend in Kentucky. And when you're ready to explore the outdoors, there's no better place than home. Hike, bike, paddle, fish, or even venture deep underground. This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition free. Search and apply now at UPSJobsKY.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.